Hi, this is Amrita Sukumar, and I'm bringing to you this podcast called Unsettling. Look around you. Everyone is trying to create their own story. Make a tiny change in someone's life by just following their passion, and in turn, inspiring the others to follow suit. This podcast brings to you stories of people who have defied the definition of settled set by the society and have created their own. They have found happiness in their version of settling.
Yours. So you have to dream before your dreams come true. Today's guest left behind his job as an insurance sales consultant to pursue his dreams of becoming an actor. He learned his acting skills from California's Edgemar Center for the Arts, after which he got an opportunity to work with Ashutosh Govarikar in his debut series, Everest. He then cast in films like Red Thread, The Bandit Hound, and Taish. And we've all seen him recently in the Netflix series Masaba Masaba. So without creating any more suspense, let me welcome Arman Khera. Hi, Arman. How are you? Welcome to the Unsettling Podcast.
Hi, Amrita. Thank you so much for having me at the Unsettling Podcast. I love the name.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to becoming uncomfortable throughout this interview. Let's do this.
It's not about you being uncomfortable, though. I want you to be more comfortable and talk about your life. The uncomfortable part comes at the end, and you shall see how.
So, okay. All right.
So did you feel that, you know, things changed since your stint in Masaba Masaba? Did you feel that your fans have started following you more? And, you know, how has it been? How has the experience been since then?
Definitely. A lot of things have changed. I mean, in terms of fans, a lot of people have reached out to me through Instagram, through email, through, you know, various platforms, letting me know about how much they're so happy to see me on Masaba Masaba season two, how much they love the show. So I'm very grateful that, you know, Masaba Masaba already had such a great following,
right?
You know, because it's an awesome show. And it's about Masaba Gupta, so everybody wants to know what Masaba's up to. And it's directed by Sonam, who is a legend. You know, she's a living, walking, breathing legend. So I'm so glad that I was a part of such a project. And honestly, I did not expect the amount of love that I have received as a result of that. So it feels really good. A lot of things have changed. People have started messaging me directly about work. Usually, mm-hmm. I would just wait for auditions through my agency,
right.
And or I would just, you know, like I'd just come across messages for auditions, and so now people are just directly contacting me for work. One of the film I'm shooting for currently in Kashmir, they contacted me through Instagram.
You know,
I guess someone from the team had seen Masaba Masaba, and this was probably one of the first projects that I didn't have to audition for. They just asked me to connect with my manager, and you know, like we're on board and we're here shooting.
Wow.
So yeah, my career has taken a really good turn, and I'm blessed. I'm feeling very grateful and happy at this point in my life. Thank you, Masaba Masaba season two.
And definitely we thank Masaba Masaba so that, you know, we were able to see you on screen. And Fateh is definitely one character that's a little complicated, right? You know, he seems very enduring in the beginning, but then he turns out to be a little dicey as a person. I don't want to give out any spoilers, but I mean, the transition that you did, I mean, till the end we were all on board, like we were team Fateh, and then at the end there was that tiny switch. And I think it's very difficult to do that, right, as an actor. I mean, how do you do that? What is your role? How do you prepare for a role like that? What do you do? I would love to know.
So I was quite confused as to how to approach Fateh, you know, because I mean, after reading the script and seeing how he ends up at the end, I was like, oh, wow, man, you really screwed up, you know? So, but you know, it took me a day or two of shooting. Mm-hmm. It actually, during the readings that I had with Sonam, I had a better idea of Fateh, and she really wanted Fateh to be unexpectedly dicey. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you said, in the until the end, you know, you kind of feel for Fateh, and you're kind of like you empathize with him because I guess you are we ourselves or somebody close to us has been in a situation where they're about to get married because it's an arranged marriage or it's something that their families want, but they fall in love with somebody else or they are feeling something just before their marriage and they don't know how to tackle it, you know. And as you can see, Fateh throughout, I think season, so sorry, episode 3, 4, 5, around there, he's consistently distracting himself from this reality that he's faced with, that he's about to get married. You know, he's missing flights. You know, he's annoying Masaba in the process. He's like trying to be like a good tourist in Kashmir, trying to see as much as he can see. You know, but yeah, I would say that I needed Sonam to be there, and she was there. She's the one who directed me, you know, in that sense. Ki achha, listen, just play it cool, be happy, be refreshing, you know, be present. You know what I'm saying? Because I want the audience, you know, to feel what they're going to feel. Again, no spoilers. So, towards the end, that was, I think, that was a great directional note that she made sure that was inculcated within me while I was working on Masaba
So it was all Sonam, I
Masaba.
would say.
It was all Sonam. It was all Sonam. Otherwise, I would have been a, like I said, I was confused while I approached it. So, but thanks to her, she had a good idea, and she knows her audience. Do you know what I'm saying? She knows where to hit. She knows what's going to make them feel good, what's going to make them feel happy, or you know, make them laugh. And I feel like that's the characteristic of a legendary director. So thank you, Sonam.
Definitely. Definitely it is. And you just mentioned, I mean, a few moments back that, you know, it was very difficult for you to get roles. You had to audition first, and now things are coming to you very easily. So, as a beginner, was it difficult for you to get your foot in the door and, you know, get noticed by filmmakers?
Definitely, definitely. It's been a journey, you know. I feel like it's been a good 7 to 8 years. I was just talking to my sister about this yesterday, and I mean, a lot of you have probably read that book, The Alchemist. You know, so in The Alchemist, there's a part of the book that talks about how when you finally take a step towards listening to your heart, you know, the universe gives you a green light. You know, so when I dropped out of college the second time in the same year, I ran away to Mumbai. I left everything, and I was going to make music, but acting is something that I've wanted to do ever since I think I was born. You know what I'm saying? I was born to entertain, as my family tells me. So when I knew that, okay, auditions are happening in my neighborhood, I went for them. And the first audition, though, I just signed my name and I left because I was too scared. I walked into the room. It was an ad. It was an ad audition. And there was all these 6-foot-tall, good-looking men walking around for this one role. And I'm like, no way am I getting this role. I might as well just go back home. And then for the second audition, I was just like, you know what? Whatever, man. Like, I'm just gonna go. And I went in, I got it. It was basically my first audition. And I got the role as Vidhan in Mr. Ashutosh Gwarikar's Everest. So that, and then after that, I didn't have work for 5 years, 6 years. I was just telling Saba, one of my co-actors, on this. And I didn't have work for about 5 or 6 years. After that, I went to LA, I went to Edgemar Center, I studied over there. I came back, a lot of back and forth between Mumbai and LA, Mumbai and LA, auditioning, trying to get roles, but nothing was happening. But that one audition that I got selected in, like, you know, that was a really strong green light, you know, and that made me, that just, I had my foot on the accelerator since then, you know. I just had to keep going. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, it feels, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful, you know, and I feel like it's good to go through the challenge of trying to get there. It's good to
Sure.
like not give up. And I mean, a lot of the times my mother would tell me, go get a job, you know, apply, go get a job, you know, do something. And I would be like, no, it's okay. I'll live with less money. I'll be a nomad for a while, but it's all worth it, you know, it's all worth it.
Definitely. I was about to ask you, because usually people have the story of having faced failure because it's usually the hero's journey, right? You go out there, you face failure, and then you conquer it, and then you come back victorious so that you have a story to tell. And I wanted to ask you, did it have ever happen that you felt like quitting and just giving up? And you just gave me that answer. You said that you once your foot was on the accelerator, you're like, I'm never looking back.
Never looking back, never, because I was so happy on set, you know. And while shooting Everest, there was this one day that I had a scene that I wasn't able to do properly, according to what the director wanted. And he was quite pissed off, you know, he was getting very angry with me. And I was always the kind of kid that if somebody got angry at me while I was doing a task, I'd just leave the task, you know, I'd just be like, whatever, dude, I don't even have to be here. Like, you know, I don't have to take your shit. But there was a scene that I had to do with quite a senior actor. I'm sorry, sir, I forgot your name. But like we were doing this scene, and I wasn't, I also I'll admit I wasn't very prepared. I had quite a few dialogues to perform, and I admit that I was not fully prepared. But because of that, I kept stumbling and I kept messing up, and I was forcing the team to take more and more takes because of that. So there was a point where the director looked at me while we were doing the scene, and he seemed like if he had a gun in his hand, like, you know, he would have already pulled the trigger, you know. So and then being that kind of kid that I told you about, after successfully, you know, completing the scene, I was walking back to my vanity, and I started crying. You know, I was in tears because I had finally found something that I can't walk away from, you know. Being on set, being surrounded by so many energies and so much love, because, you know, so everyone is so passionate, you know, about what they do on set. I couldn't walk away from that. So that day I had realized that this is my life now. This is who I'm going to be. This is where I will be, probably when I pass away as well, you know. So yeah.
Nice. You seem very passionate about acting. I mean, the way you talk, you've got that energy that kind of comes through the screen. And I'm glad you found your calling. I'm really glad you did.
Oh, so glad. So glad. So glad.
So how do you prepare for a role? Are you that kind of, method actor who gets into character and never comes out of it? Or are you someone who switches on and off?
Initially I was the person that switched on and switched off, but I felt a bit limited in that respect, and actually trying to, you know, do justice to the character. And honestly, I'll be honest, I don't think I worked very hard for the first two or three roles that I got, because I was just too happy. It's like, wow, I'm on set, you know. I was just a kid running around, jumping around, like, you know, saying what's up to everybody, and, you know, and having a good time. But then, like, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, in the film I'm shooting right now, I really am, I'm absorbing the love I have for the craft. And if you ever have an interview with any of my co-actors on this one, they'll tell you that, you know, as the second he puts the uniform on and his hair and makeup is done, he's the character, you know, that's who he is. I speak like him, I walk like him, and this and that. And it's so much fun. I love it. I love it. I wouldn't be able to say that I'm a method actor. I feel like a lot of the actors in the film industry have done an exceptional job at method, you know. So I wouldn't be, I don't think I can call myself a method actor, but I enjoy the research. I enjoy the research. I absorb a lot. I'm a sponge. So I love going through the history of where the character is from. I love going through the geography of where the character is from. I love studying, actually.
Right.
about the subject that we're presenting. I think that is my favorite part. And then when I already have a plan of, okay, this is how he's gonna walk, this is how deep his voice is gonna be, or how light his voice is gonna be. And then I just go with that. You know, that's been my most recent method of approaching characters.
Oh, so this is similar to what we do in theater, right? So you go do a character analysis and then write the story as to how the character is going to be and then
Yes.
come on stage, yeah. Right.
Yeah, I love writing the background story for characters. I feel like that's something that I learned at Edgemar Center. That's they said, you know, write a story about your character. You know, don't just limit your story and your performance to the script. Make sure you know that, you know, what's the sun sign of this character, you know, what where like what's his relationship with his mother. You know, how has his mother or father or anybody in his family influenced his life? Why does he talk this way? You know, why does he do this? And explore that. And it's so much fun. It's really fun.
It is. I had a small stint where when I was in Bangalore, I did theater for a while, and we had to go through this entire process. So, when I used to act on stage in school, I thought acting was really fun and very easy. You just had to pick up a script and read it in the way you would normally read. But then when I went there and I went through the entire process of writing a background story and understanding, you know, that different voices, different what is it called? Navaras in Hindi. I don't know what it is called in English.
The emotions.
Yeah, the emotion. So you had to go through each and every emotion and figure out whether, you know, you could say it in a different tone. So we did all these exercises and it was so much fun that I never knew acting had so much background to it. I always thought it's very easy. And that small stint changed me a lot, yes.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of work involved. Even my father, he keeps whenever we talk on the phone and I tell him about my day, he's like, he always ends the conversation by saying, "Wow, man, you're working hard, huh?" You know, and because everybody's under this misconception that, you know, actors just, you know, make it to set, do some dialogues, you know, mess around and have fun, come back home, that's it. But there's a lot of work involved, you know. Not saying that I do a lot of work, you know, not saying that I'm a hardworking actor, but I have seen a lot of actors put in the time, put in the effort, like Harshvardhan Rane, for example. When we shot Dash together, he had already written a book about Pali, who's my elder brother. He had written his whole backstory. He has written stories about me as his younger brother. You know, and that requires time, that requires a lot of effort. So, yeah,
That's a lot of work.
that's a lot of work.
So, how does a typical day in your life look like now that you said it's a lot of work? I would like to know.
So, I like to stay occupied. I like to stay occupied, and I ensure that my day starts with a certain routine. So after the lockdown, I've incorporated yoga in my life. So that's probably the first thing I do. I wake up, I'll do yoga on an empty stomach, and I'll start drinking water, eating fruits, and this and that. If I feel like going to the gym, I'll go to the gym or do some other physical activity. And then I start, but if I have a shoot, I'll obviously go for shoot. If I don't have a shoot, then I'll probably be doing a voiceover in a studio. Or I'll be working with my producers, like making music. You know, I make a lot of music, and music is something that's kept me patient throughout my acting journey. You know, so whenever I was rejected from like acting, I'd come home and I'd just work on music, and it's been a blessing. And then otherwise, I'll go for a shoot. You know, usually there's something or the other happening, and thanks to Masaba, a lot of photographers and designers have been like connecting with me for shoots. So we'll do some photo shoot or something like that. If I have nothing to do, I love going out for meetings. You know, I love meeting people. So in order to discuss a new idea or, you know, a new approach to a subject, anything. Like I love staying occupied. I don't like being home all day. Unless I've been working constantly. And then I have 1 or 2 days to stay at my like at the hotel I'm staying at or stay at home. Oh, then I love being at home. Then there's yeah.
Then no one can get you out of there. Yeah, I get
Yeah.
it. So you just spoke about a voiceover gig, and I was about to come to that. You've got a wonderful voice. And
Thank you.
how did you land your first gig? I mean, I think it was pretty easy based on your voice, but still.
So, okay, so my first voiceover that I ever did, and this was thanks to a guy named Kushal Meghranjani. I met him in Bangalore, actually, at Christ. Before I dropped out, I met him. He was in his third year, I believe, in college, and they were the, for one of the for one of the college projects, they had to make a marketing video, I believe. I forgot. I'm sorry, Kushal. Kushal, I'm sorry, I always mispronounce his name. But he asked me to, before that, he did an interview, you know. No, actually, no, we did this project first. He got me, he's like, bro, I love your voice. Like, you know, let's I need it for a project, this, and that. And then I told him about my musical journey, and then he ended up shooting an interview of mine, you know, my very first interview, and that was him. And I think that that video is lost. It's somewhere on YouTube. I'm gonna ask him. But he then, you know, like we worked on a song, and so he got me, he gave me the confidence to do voiceovers, and then I started doing voiceovers for Charanjit Dhiman. See, we call him CD. He's a very close friend of my father's, and he has an agency in Nehru Place called Agency 1100. And so me and my brother Ishan, whose name is Izer on Instagram, Izer Permanente, he and I would write scripts for the videos that the agency wanted to do, and we'd do the voiceovers for those scripts and make the music, and you know, just do all the things that were required to create that video. Then I didn't have voiceover work because I went to LA. I was focusing on acting. And voiceovers really started picking up for me when I came back to Mumbai. And that's when I got, thanks to Miss Nalini Ratnam, who was also the casting director who selected me for Everest, my first gig. And so she connected me with Bathy Sir, and we did TVS, we did Nexa, you know. You know, and I've been doing voiceovers here and there ever since. I just did a voiceover yesterday, actually. This is for Schneider Electric and the Rajasthan Royals. So I want to do more voiceovers. So anybody out there that needs a voice, that needs a man's voice, please let me know. Please, I want to
Man's
do more
voice,
voiceover
yes.
work.
Wow. So it's a nice story. Do you still produce music, by the way, or it's just as a hobby?
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And seeing my brother Danish produce music, he's a new producer in the game, and he makes excellent, excellent instrumentals. So just hearing his instrumentals, I kind of don't listen. I don't produce as much as I used to. Instead, I'm just writing to whatever he's making because he's a legend himself. All the producers I've worked with while I was in New Zealand, Mikey Ellesmere. His name is Michael Andrusos. He's a legendary producer. I've got Izer, who I told you about, legendary producer again. Danish Sood, an amazing producer, who's still shy about his game, but I'm very certain that he is one of the best in the game. And there's various producers that I've been working with from the start. And so it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun just getting music from them and writing to it.
Nice to know. Since, I mean, I've read about you a little bit, and I know that you were teaching at Michelle Danner Acting Studio. Do you still do that?
No,
No.
since I'm not in LA anymore,
Right.
I was giving writing classes for
Oh,
music,
okay.
and not sure if I'm the best person to be giving writing classes, but you know, Michelle, I had written a song for the school play for the, yeah, there was a play, there was a show actually that we were presenting at Michelle Danner School. It was a paid show. Every you know, like there's a lot of public would come to see it, And I had written a song as Jacques, who was one of the prisoners during the French Revolution. So they fell in love with that song. You know, I myself did when I first wrote it. Of course, I thought it was amazing because I love writing, you know. And I'm not just saying that it was amazing because like it's me writing it, but because I feel like that was one of the songs that I felt, you know, that I felt very deeply. And so when you feel something that deeply, it naturally just comes out beautiful. So after that, I approached Michelle and I was like, hey, listen, I'd love to help like some of the kids out and, you know, like make them comfortable with writing lyrics. And so I was hosting a class called Lyrical Expression, and I took a couple of things from a few of the teachers at school, and I incorporated that within the class, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Is it, can we hear the song? Is it available anywhere online?
So no, not this one, but this was a
Okay.
remix, a verse I had written to La Vie en Rose. So you've all heard
Oh,
La Vie en Rose,
yes.
and this was a verse that was a part of that we had incorporated within that song. It was a musical show. So yeah.
Right. Nice.
But yeah, next time we do this, I'm gonna make sure I have that verse. I'll find it and I'm gonna
Yes.
wrap it for you guys.
Definitely. I'm going to be a big shot by then, so you might have to talk to my manager.
Awesome. That's what we like to hear.
I just wanted to throw that
Nice. I'm glad you did.
Ayo.
No more emails from Amritarz. It's
No,
closed.
no more email from me. My manager will
No more emails
contact you.
from me. Yes. The
Oh God.
Matrix theme plays in the background.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be four or five people standing here. Ma'am, this is your cue card. This is the question you have
Yes.
to ask. I don't do my research anymore. Yeah, that's the dream.
Happening soon.
Thank you. So, since you have donned many roles, you know, an actor, model, voiceover artist, and also a mentor, which is your favorite of all these?
This is gonna sound very cheesy, but I love being Armand, you know. I mean, I think this is the best role that I could have ever received in the universe. I love myself, man. I mean, I am just naturally a very passionate person, and I feel like I could have limited that passion to one sphere, you know, of influence, but I'm just I you know, anything I do, I love it. You know, when I was an insurance sales consultant, I was very competitive, you know, even
Oh,
though I was not as good as my colleagues in
right.
that respect. But yeah, you know, I love doing things, you know, I love living life. So, you know, all of this is just a part of like extensions of my passion as a human being. So, yeah, like I did win a few awards at, Cigna Insurance. So, which I'm very proud about because, you know, I'm not a salesperson by nature.
Right.
My sister is very good at sales, but I'm not. So, I feel like I can do anything, you know. I feel like I can do anything and I'll be happy in anything I do. I was working night shifts at 7-Eleven. You know, you probably heard of 7-Eleven. It's the 24-hour
Yes.
convenience store in America.
Yeah.
And so I used to work night shifts over there and I loved that job. I loved it, you know. It was a very tedious job, but I loved it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
So you like everything that you do. Nice. So, Arman, what message would you like to give the youngsters who want to be a part of this industry?
Wow. Stick to it, you know. Follow your heart and stick to it. It takes a while. There's a lot of arguments that happen with your family. There's so much rejection. There's so many no's. No, you're not fit. It's okay. Sorry, we'll call you next time. Sometimes you won't even get a call back. And you'll be waiting because that's a role that you really wanted to perform, you really wanted to do. And I would just say that, it'll happen, you know. Don't look at it as only star kids get the big opportunities, or you have to be very good looking, or you have to speak very well. No, it's none of that. Like, it's just like anything else on this planet. If you want it bad, if you want it from the heart, listen to your heart and stick to it, you know. So yeah, I feel like we make too many assumptions about the industry. And because of those assumptions, because of the opinions that the people around us have about the industry, a lot of us don't take that step,
yeah.
You know? And we feel like having our foot in the door is just going to hurt us. But it's not. Like, you just keep going, and the universe will respond.
That is beautiful. Thank you. It's a message that I'm also going to take away. I think keeping at it, consistency is something that is going to get you where you need to be. And thank you. Thank you for this.
No, thank you. That's good. So I feel like that's one of the best questions in an interview, especially for someone like, you know, that's in the industry, because people have so, like I said, they all have so many opinions and assumptions about being an actor or being a director or following your dreams, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you. Thank you for that question.
Okay, so coming to the uncomfortable part that I spoke of in the beginning. Since you have been raised outside the country most of your life, was there ever a pressure on you by the society ki beta settled ho jao? Did it reach there ever?
Of course. My mom is the advocate. She's the main advocate for this idea ki beta settle hona hai, you know? She's been saying that since I was born, actually. before I went to school, before I even got to the playground, she's been saying, "Beta, settle on that, okay? Okay, na? Matlab, aur tune mera khayal rakhna." So, yeah, I've been hearing this for a very long time.
So, I thought it won't reach you there, but then, shit.
Yeah, no, it did, definitely. And the pressure of being set was intense in these past 7 or 8 years because I didn't have work, you know, I didn't have consistent work. So my mother was always very, very, she was quite tense about, acha, is my son going to be, you know, is he going to be wandering most of his life, or is he going to be able to actually have a family, have a consistent income? Is he going to be able to take care of me in my old age?
Right.
So I understood that, definitely. I understood her concerns. But now she's happy. She can see where my career is taking me. Yeah. And I pray that I keep her happy and that I don't have to listen to this again. Ki beta, settle ho jao, please.
Okay. I'm glad ki aap set ho chuke hain to an extent, but unfortunately you are going to hear the question just now because I'm going to ask you that. So what does the phrase being settled mean to you? Beta.
Beta. Okay. Nice. I like that. being settled. Okay. I can't help but to give a very wise man's answer to this, but I feel like what does it mean to you, you know? I mean, what does being settled mean to any human being? Some human beings are nomads, you know, some people just love to travel and you know, work a different job every 6 months.
Right.
I've met people like that. I've met people who are just want to have one job for the rest of their life, and so I guess it's just what it means to you. For me, being set, I guess, means at this point, I feel like providing consistently for my family. I'm honestly happy. You know, I don't, I can travel around as long as I have you know, like a car or something. Like, that's probably all I need. I'll sleep in the car, you know what I'm saying? But if you have people that love and care about you, and you know, they've taken good care of you in your life, I feel like, yeah, we are, you know, in some or the other way, we are responsible to repay them the favor.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So being happy and content means settling for you and doing the things that you love. So, well, these were all the questions that I had, and this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and telling us about your life, telling us about your journey, and being so real about it, you know, without any sugarcoating, telling us the reality of the entire situation. It was very refreshing to talk to you. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me at the podcast. Honestly, I must say that I can't take credit for being real. I feel like it's a lot to do with the energy that you're surrounded with. And thank you for the energy that allowed me to be able to just say what was in my heart, what was in my mind. So thank you so much, Unsettling Podcast, for this amazing conversation.
Thank you for the promotion as well.
Always, always.
Hi, if you can hear this, that means you have reached the end of the episode. So like, share, subscribe, follow, stay tuned to Unsettling. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can always reach out to me on my Instagram page, AmritaSukumar_unsettling, or send me an email on podcast.unsettling.as@gmail.com. Hope to hear from you soon. Bye.